We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Okay, I mean, I got to keep doing what I've been doing. Just get back to the basics. Get back out and just keep playing football. I mean, that's the last thing I'm worried about. I mean, first thing I'm worried about is just doing my job and doing the best I can do to help out the team.
Dale Arnold.
Who would you rather have the rest of the season?
Patrick Mahomes.
Rich Keefe.
Ballpark plays. I know the short porch. I know we have the big wall here.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Yeah.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Sometimes I think you have to test things. I've decided that, you know, if you have a firmly held belief, you know, a passionate take on something.
And I do.
It needs to be tested at times. You have to see,
okay.
All right, do I really believe it? Does it stand the test of time?
Mm-hmm.
I get the feeling Alex Cora is trying to see if he really is as hot as we think he is.
What is he doing, Dale? What is he doing? It was a little after we got off the air yesterday, so we didn't have a chance to get to it. David Price in game two.
I guess he was on MLB Network with Dog.
Yes.
And he was on High Heat. And Dog said, you know, I know you won't answer this, but I'm not doing my job if I don't ask. And he doesn't even get through. We know you're going to start Chris Sale in game one, but in game two, he doesn't even get the question up. And Cora says, David.
Like, what?
What?
Why?
What?
What?
David Price.
So, I mean, there's really a... How do you come up with this decision? I mean,
I'll tell you what I think he's trying to do.
Yeah, I would love to know.
I'm only guessing here because, as I said yesterday, he would start a game in the ALCS for me, but he would start game four and only game four.
Yeah, and then you're done. Then you could send him home. You're done.
Or you put him in the bullpen.
You don't want to see him there.
Whatever. I have a feeling that, well, I heard Alex Cora tell OMF yesterday.
Yeah.
That he's seen something. He's found something. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, please.
Not going to tell us.
You're going to tell David?
But he's told David.
Oh, good. So
he's
David
talked
knows?
To David.
All right,
and,
good.
And he's found some things.
Yeah.
And he's convinced that David's going to come out and throw the ball great. Now.
You cannot be convinced.
Well, let's just be convinced. Let's say in Alex's defense.
Okay.
David Price has pitched very well twice this year against the Houston Astros.
Okay.
He has. He pitched great down in Houston. He pitched very well here. I think he was trailing 2-1 when he came out of the game. Pitched very well against the Astros here.
All right.
So he's
got a couple. I'll play along.
He's got a couple of games, you know, to point to and say, look, he does well against this team.
Yes.
Glenn asked what I thought was the best question of all. He says he's got problems pitching in cold weather. It's going to be pretty chilly here Sunday night. Why wouldn't you save him for Houston?
Yes.
Dome stadium, climate controlled.
No
gonna
cats,
be nice.
No dogs.
It's going to be very nice. No, we're going game two.
I don't like it. The worst part to me about the game two is just the idea that if this is a long series, you have to see him twice. And then you're really playing. So this is a guy who has never won a playoff start in 10 chances. That's a lot of chances.
But
that's
he's only 0-9 as a starter. He didn't get a decision in one of those.
Oh, yeah, so. You're right. Yeah, that's fair.
That, by the way, is the worst record for a starter in postseason history.
Yes. And so now you're expecting him to snap that streak. But then he's going to take that moment, and then he's going to do it again. So he's going to pitch game two and game six, and he's going to win both of those games.
That's what he's got in mind,
crazy.
I guess.
And usually when we say, well, what's the alternative? And that's usually an answer to say, well, that's why he's going to be in there. That's why you and I both thought game four made sense. What's the alternative? Eduardo Rodriguez, don't like him either. But in this case, for game two, Nathan Eovaldi, and I admit that he is great against the Yankees, so that's a big part of it. But Eovaldi looked amazing in that game. He had the best start for them in the division series. You're not starting him game two. Rick Porcello had a really good start. He also had a good relief appearance. Not starting him either. So I don't get why you're forcing David Price. It's getting worse for David Price too, by the way. This isn't one of those things where he gave up 3 runs in the sixth and you had to take him out and it was a close game and you wish you could have done better. No, those were some of his starts from the past where he would go 6-2/3, give up some runs, wasn't good enough to outduel the other starter, but at least he got you deep into a game. No, he has gone 3 1/3 2 years ago against Cleveland, and then he went an inning and 2/3 against the Yankees. He cannot pitch in the playoffs, and now you're setting him up to pitch twice, get two starts in the ALCS when you don't need to do it. It lines up. You have plenty of rest. You can put the rotation any way you want. I can't possibly, for the life of me, come up with a good reason why David Price is going game two.
We have been saying all along that Alex Cora is on a hot streak of biblical proportions.
He's put it to the test, isn't he?
It's like every decision he made in the last series was the right decision. Even at times when you went, what is he thinking?
What is going on?
Why is he catching Christian Vasquez? He hasn't caught Rick Porcello all year. What's he doing?
Oh, good opposite field power.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, the other way.
So every decision he's made has proven right. So,
I mean, I guess you have that going
for him. You sort of give him the benefit of the doubt because he's on a pretty good track record here. Does that... I don't want to say luck because that's not the right word. His decisions have been perfect so far, but does that sort of thing, doesn't it inevitably come to an end? Don't you run into a streak of decisions where you make decisions and the pinch hitter you send up strikes out on three, or
of course,
the guy you put in the seventh inning gives up four runs? And,
right. I mean, it's definitely going to happen. I mean, that's just the way baseball goes. You can't ride this forever, although all season long has been pretty good. Like, we're highlighting the playoffs, but you don't win 108 games.
No, he's been great all year.
Without hitting the right buttons throughout the way. So he has had, and maybe it will continue through the World Series, and then who knows, maybe, you know, the offseason, it goes away. And, you know, next year is not as fortunate for him. But this one is just really strange. I also wonder how much of this is a clubhouse-type decision. Because, again, we know they all like David Price. They love
him.
Very
popular.
He's a very popular
amongst
guy.
Amongst his teammates.
And I personally think you've already kind of lost him anyway. Like, you get to the postseason, and he's not the same guy that he is in the regular season. But maybe Cora's thinking, well, if I bump him to game four, how does he respond to that? Like, this is a guy who is clearly the number two starter on this team, at least regular season-wise. Now I bump him to four. How does he respond? And do the rest of the guys look at it and say, hey, he's sticking with him. So even after a bad start, we believe in you. But in the back of their minds, they don't believe in him. They can't. They're human. They see the box scores from years before. They were on the field in game two. They can't possibly believe in David Price.
All right, I'll ask the next question, and I've heard this talked about a little bit over the last 24 hours, less than 24 hours. Is this Alex Cora's call?
It should be.
Is it?
Dave
Dombrowski signed David Price to the big contract, $217 million. They're paying him $32 million a year. Does the general manager go to the manager and say, listen, I paid this guy $30-some million. You got to use him. Now, I'm not sure he'd ever say you got to use him in game two.
See, that's what I would say. Like, if Cora said, I don't want him on the playoff roster, like hypothetically, right, like, he went nuts. He was like, I don't even want this guy out there. Dombrowski might kind of force his hand. I think, unless you think Cora hasn't made any of the other decisions, I don't know how somebody can see what Cora has done and then step in there and say, hey, I know you're 100 for your last 100 in decision-making, but we're going to make one here. We're going to do this. Because Dombrowski, at this point, just wants to win the World Series. Like, that's the thing. That's the goal. So if Cora feels like they have a better chance of eliminating the Astros if you get two Eovaldi starts and two Porcello starts before you get two David Price starts, then I think he would allow him to do it. Now, I'm sure Cora had conversations.
Well,
I'm sure
that they all have, you know, like the whole baseball ops department and, you know, Dave Dombrowski and all those guys, the analytics people, the advanced scouts, they all have these meetings.
Now, and I would hope that Cora can make the decision. Now, maybe it was a little bit different in the past because Dave Dombrowski inherited John Farrell. So that wasn't his guy.
Well, you were convinced that Farrell wasn't making half the decisions.
I don't think he made most of the decisions.
So then why do you think Cora is?
Because he hired Cora. I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, but if he feels so strongly to tell John Farrell, no, you're going to do this and this and this, why do we think he just stops because he hired Alex Cora?
I think it's a world of difference because he doesn't really trust Farrell. He kept him on, but he was more hands-on with him. You should hire the manager to do his job. And if he's going to be making those decisions, let him do it. You trust in him. There's a reason why you hired him. First of all, you fired Farrell. There's a reason why you did that. You brought in Alex Cora. Don't you have to trust him? I mean, it's just like John Henry lets Dave Dombrowski make trades and sign players, right? Or do you think John Henry says, nope, we need this guy, we need this guy, we need this guy? Like, I think he trusts
him. I assume Dombrowski makes all those decisions.
So do I.
Now, I do understand before he drops $217 million in David Price's lap,
yeah, he has to do
you
that.
Have to go to ownership and you have to say, listen, this is what I want to do. And theoretically, I wouldn't even have an issue if the owner says, hey, wait a minute, I'm not paying that guy $217.
No, no. And so that's what, and I bet it's a similar relationship. Now, maybe there's a little bit more, you know, input. Dave Dombrowski tells Cora how he feels, but I'm sure I hope it's more of a Cora decision. This guy has been such a good manager all year long. You don't want to see him out on the field, you know, lose it because of something that the front office told him to do.
He didn't, when I heard him on OMF yesterday, and he did say, you know, he's seen a couple of things. He's talked to David Price about a couple of things. He didn't really go into an explanation beyond that. In other words, he didn't say, look, I want to start him in game two because then I set him up for game. He didn't go into that depth. And when Glenn suggested, you know, maybe he'd be better off in a warmer start.
It'd be a little chilly in game two.
And he just sort of ignored that part.
He had a different kind of answer. He also added another element about the ballparks.
You've announced your starting rotation. David Price is going to go number two. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Why pitch him in game two in a cold Fenway Park where the temperatures could be down to around 40 degrees, and he's had some difficulty in the past in cold weather, and not pitch him in three or four where you're going to be playing indoors and it's climate control?
No, I mean, I know that team. I know how that ballpark plays. I know the short porch. I know we have the big wall here, but I think those righties at Minute Maid, they make more sense than the lefties in Minute Maid Park. Or whatever they call it. Is that what it's called?
I'm not even sure.
I think so, yeah. It used to be Enron or something like that.
Yeah, they keep on changing these things. You lose.
Yeah,
you'll only be gone a year.
Okay, now, I understand his logic, okay? That is kind of a bandbox to left field at Minute Maid.
Fenway
Park, wall.
The wall's closer at Fenway.
Right,
it's just higher.
But it's easier to hit home runs at Minute Maid in left field
at the
than
juice
it
box.
Is here.
They call it
the juice box.
The juice box.
I understand his logic. You've got a left-handed pitcher, left-handed starter. They're going to load up their lineup with right-handed hitters.
Got studs,
and
too.
They've got studs.
Yeah.
His logic makes sense. In other words, that point makes sense. I'd rather have him with the 37-foot wall here than the 13-foot wall there.
It could have been a 500-foot fence against Gary Sanchez and Aaron Judge. Like, though, it doesn't matter. I think we're getting a little too cute if you're saying, oh, well, but isn't that also saying, so he can't keep him in the ballpark at Minute Maid, right? He can't keep him in the ballpark there. The righties are going to be smashing home runs against him. But here, they're going to be, what, long singles? Like, that doesn't even sound like you have faith in your guy. If you're just saying, well, this ballpark's better, we could probably, you know, minimize the damage here at Fenway than there, meaning you think he would be terrible in Houston. Guess what?
I know the short porch. I know we have the big wall here, but I think those righties at Minute Maid, they make more sense than the lefties in Minute Maid Park.
I mean, he's been terrible everywhere. Fenway Park, Houston, Cleveland.
Here's the other issue with David Price. Now, maybe Alex Cora is the Price whisperer. Maybe he has seen something and he can personally fix it.
Where was he last week?
Yeah, I know. Maybe he's got it he's fixed everything.
Okay.
The David Price I saw pitch in the last series was missing his spot by a foot, foot and a half.
Yeah.
Unless he's fixed that,
right.
I don't care what ballpark you're in.
Yeah.
Unless David Price can put the ball where the catcher wants him to put the ball, then it doesn't matter.
Well, think about all the conversation that everybody has had following game two about how you can't trust the guy, how he's done, you can't start him again, or, you know, Greg Dickerson was on with us. He said he's never going to start another game in a Red Sox uniform. Turns out that's not true. He's starting in game two.
I never believed that. I knew he was going to start a game in this series.
Well, I think back then you weren't sure if they were going to win the series, I guess,
right?
You know, you could think that way, but yeah, I thought if they made it to the ALCS, he would start, but the hope was definitely in game four. But, man, I mean, again, I go back to something I said yesterday. I would be shocked if he pitched well. Like, all the other guys, you wouldn't be shocked. You wouldn't be. If Chris Sale pitches well, great. If Avaldi pitches well, great. Porcello was kind of on that line before, but his track record wasn't as – he didn't have as many games as David Price has had. And then after a good relief appearance and then a good start in the Yankee series, yeah, he might pitch well. I mean, he might get shelled, but he might pitch well. Whereas Price – anything good from him would be a shocking result. And that's the guy that you want in game two because there's a taller fence in left field. Like, I don't think that sounds very good. I mean, they're just going to be hitting rockets off the wall then, I guess.
And
I mean, he's going to get crushed. Altuve and Correa and Springer, Bregman, He's going to get crushed.
He didn't in the two times he faced that lineup this year.
But it's the playoffs.
I understand.
Throw it out the window. Throw the regular season out the window with this guy.
I'll put it another way. Yeah. Let's say that he had gone with my proposal, and you're going to start David Price in game four.
Yes.
If it's an elimination game, do you want David Price going to the mound for you?
Well, it's all, I mean, Dale, as they say, it's all hands on deck. So Price would start, and then as soon as he got into trouble, you'd go to the pen anyway.
But I guess my point is, at least if he's starting game two, in a worst case scenario, you're going to be down 0-1.
No,
because, I'm trying to come up with reasons why he went this way.
No, but because you're setting him up to pitch twice. So what if he goes out there and has a two-inning performance against them in game two, and this series goes six? You're bringing him back out for game six? After two starts like that? Like, that's what makes no sense to me about, like, forget the ballparks. So you're meaning to tell me if Houston had home field advantage, you think he would have moved Price to game four? Or is he just going to start game two no matter what? Like, is the ballpark really the biggest difference for him?
Well,
it's the same lineup.
Let's take it as a given that he's got other reasons. That's what he shared with Glenn and and Lou.
Well,
and
I hope he has other reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's got other things in his mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he was talking about the two games at Yankee Stadium. You know, we knew that we wanted to go with this kind of lineup and this kind of attack against Severino, and we knew that we wanted that kind of lineup and that kind of attack against CC Sabathia. He had great depth and detail. I'm assuming he had more on his list of pros and cons than, well, the wall is shorter in Houston.
I hope so, because the other ones make more sense. Like, if you say, all right, here's Verlander, and here's who we think match up well with Verlander, you know, maybe it's Holt or maybe it's Devers or whoever. Like, that makes sense to me. There's probably more of a track record there. Now, Cora does have, I don't know if you want to call it insider information or whatever. I mean, he knows the Astros
inside now
better than anybody else in the majors that's not currently in Houston. So
exactly. That
could be an advantage. And maybe it's something as the park, but I don't know. I mean, that seems like a stretch. So Jose Altuve, you know, in Minute Maid Park, you know, he feels like would smash David Price. But at Fenway, he's got a good shot. It's like, no, he can score a lot of runs at Fenway Park. That lineup can score plenty of runs.
Well,
I don't like it. I mean, I think the worst part to me is probably setting him up to start twice.
He had a couple of decisions in the last series that I didn't like, and I was dead flat wrong.
He got him right.
You know, I didn't like the fact that Brock Holt hits for the cycle, and then he sits him in the next game, and I was wrong. I didn't like the fact that he was going to catch Christian Vasquez with Rick Porcello throwing for the first time all season long. I was wrong.
So I agree with you. I wasn't wild about those decisions, but those make more sense. And not just in hindsight. They made more sense to say, all right, he is not going to just ride a monster game three from Holt. He's going with a righty-heavy lineup against Sabathia. If that's what he wanted to do, I can understand that. That's easy to explain. And that's what we've always said about Cora. When we were talking to him or even after that, agree or disagree, he always gives you an answer. And then I feel like even if you disagree, you say, okay, all right, I see where that logic is. This is still a screwy one. This is one of the weirdest decisions that he's made. And then the answer, at least that he gave OMF yesterday, I also kind of, I say, really?
It's the short porch.
Short
I know
porch.
We have the big wall here.
Big
but,
wall. I mean, we're going on with how tall the left field fence is why David Price is starting twice in the series
well,
instead
funny
of once.
Because the things that he doesn't want to say, and I know that there are things he can't and won't say. I understand that. It's
cats.
Like... No, that's not where I was going.
Hopefully there's
fresh
no
cut grass.
No, just leave it alone, Jason.
That's
we're good.
That's the other problem.
I mean,
with Price.
He was talking to Lou, and Lou said, you know, we had that video footage in the dugout of I think it was Betts and
Bradley
and said fastball.
They knew what Severino was doing,
and you could see Cora dancing all around that thing. You know, we have to play them next year.
Yeah.
So I always understand that there are things he can say publicly. He says more than most.
He does.
But he doesn't say everything for obvious reasons.
I mean, he's got to keep stuff under his hat. I mean, he did that with Mitch Moreland pretty famously earlier in the season where we're like, why isn't he pinch hitting? And then, you know, he said he was available. Then turns out, no, he was not available. So those are some things that he keeps to himself. Yeah, he doesn't need to give us the game plan. I'm just saying, based on what he did give us, I say it's got to be something else.
I don't know.
And I know you, and I know Rags, so I know you're two of the best.
I know. I think... It's amazing how now, and I play the game too, kind of like when one of the guys struggle, we look at the film and see if he's tipping. Man, sometimes it's just, we're guessing, honestly. And he had good stuff, but I think we did a good job, kind of like the way he pitched against Oakland was a little bit different compared to early in the season. he threw all those fastballs in the first inning, and then he abandoned the fastball. He started using his slider, and we took advantage of it. I think the hit and run was the one that changed the game, honestly, because first pitch fastball, base hit, first pitch hit and run, and it was first and second, like, quick, you know? And
yeah, I mean, I think he definitely knows what Severino was doing. And so the hope here would be Cora has a little idea of what Verlander may be doing. Now, Gerrit Cole, no, but, you know, Dallas Keuchel, maybe he has an idea of what those guys have coming, but I don't know. I mean, he definitely is not going to tell you everything.
If Chris Sale comes out in game one and does what we think he's going to do, you know, he's looked pretty good in the playoffs so far. Whatever playoff issues he may have had in the past, he doesn't have the same issues now. He's got a win already. He's got a great relief appearance. If he comes out, does his job in game one, knocks off Verlander, Red Sox have a 1-0 lead, maybe all the pressure's off David Price at that point.
No. What about what happened against the Yankees? Same thing. You're trying to talk yourself back into it,
I'm not trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure out what Alex is, what he's got in his head.
No, but they were
beyond
up,
what he's told us.
They were up 1-0 over the Yankees, and he said, good, that should be a sigh of relief for David Price. And then he had his worst playoff start he's ever had. So up 1-0, it seems like there's still pressure on him. Down 0-1, like there's definitely going to be pressure on him. Pitching at Fenway, too, forget the architecture for a moment of the stadium. If he gives up a couple of hits, you think the crowd's in on that?
It's going
to
get ugly.
They're going to like, I mean, I think you have to think about
unlike
that.
Unlike Yankee
too,
Stadium that got quiet, Fenway won't be quiet.
No, it will be pretty loud for him.
Pretty raucous and probably a little unfriendly.
And quickly, too. Like, I think they're going to be on his side early. You're rooting for him. You want him to win. You want the team to win. But if it starts to go south, it's going to get real ugly.
So Alex Cora is going to throw back-to-back power lefties in games 1 and 2 against the team that was number one in Major League Baseball in OPS against left-handed pitchers this year.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Give me Eovaldi. Nathan Eovaldi is the guy. He should be pitching game
two. Have we overreacted to Eovaldi, though?
No.
Small track record.
No, we haven't.
I mean,
I wish you could face the Yankees every day.
I was the guy saying I wanted him to throw game two.
No, okay.
So, but have we? I mean, how much track record has he got?
All right, maybe we overreacted a little bit to Eovaldi, but I think we are underreacting to David Price pitching game two. That's
no,
a bigger deal.
No, we hate it. So
we hate it, but we need to hate it more. We need to hate it more than we do. It's the worst. I can't figure out for the life of me why he's pitching game two. He sucks in the playoffs. He's terrible in the playoffs. How many times do you have to see it? That's what's crazy about it. How many times do you have to see him go out there and just crap on the mound? How many times?
Oh, apparently at least one more.
Maybe two, the way it's set up.
Well, if things go well, you get to game six.
But if he gets shelled, then what do? Do you say game six, all of a sudden now you got to change your rotation around? Ugh, I hate it.
All right, here's the schedule for today. Peter King will join us at 11:30. We'll talk some NFL football with him. We got a lot of football to talk about today as well. And Brock Holt will join us at noon today. We'll talk to the Brock star, as they like to call him.
That's right.
Had the cycle. First major leaguer in history to have a playoff cycle.
Every time he's in the lineup, he hits for the cycle.
It just seems that way, doesn't
pretty
it?
Pretty good.
So we'll talk to Brock Holt at noon. We'll talk to Peter King at 11:30. We'll talk to you coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
You've announced your starting rotation. David Price is going to go number two. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Why pitch him in game two in a cold Fenway Park where the temperatures could be down to around 40 degrees, and he's had some difficulty in the past in cold weather, and not pitch him in three or four where you're going to be playing indoors and it's climate control?
No, I mean, I know that team. I know how that ballpark plays. I know the short porch. I know we have the big wall here, but I think those righties at Minute Maid, they make more sense than the lefties in Minute Maid Park or whatever they call it. Is that what it's called?
I'm not even sure.
I think so. Yeah, it used to be Enron or something.
Yeah,
like
they
that.
Keep on changing these things. You lose.
Alex Cora on yesterday with OMF surprised a lot of folks, including me, when he told Chris Mad Dog Russo that David Price will start game two. Now, he has not said what he's going to do in games 3 and 4. Obviously, we're talking about Rick Porcello and Nathan Eovaldi.
So my prediction on that is maybe it plays out like it did in the Yankee series, where if you have a lead late, depending on how deep Chris Sale goes into the game, maybe they feel comfortable bringing Rick Porcello in again, a couple of outs, maybe an inning, and then that way you want him to pitch game three, but maybe you bump him to game four. Or the other scenario is you don't use either Porcello or Eovaldi in game one, but what if David Price goes out there, a real short start, and you have to burn one of those guys a little bit in game two?
Yeah, but if you do that, what are you going to do for, I mean, okay, you put the other one in game three, have you burned a guy that, see, he now can't start and you got to use Eduardo Rodriguez?
Yeah, maybe you do.
I don't want to do that.
Maybe you do, but you want to make sure, in game one, don't you think you, and not that they would pitch deep into the game either. I mean, we saw, you know, maybe if it's one inning.
Oh, one inning is fine. I don't mind that.
Right, just to sort of bridge it to, you know, Barnes and Brazier and Kimbrel. Maybe you'd see those guys early on. And depending on who pitches more, maybe that's why you'd flip-flop game three and four.
Now, I know how much stock you're putting in. He just stinks in the postseason. And yes. The track record is there.
Yes.
0-9 as a starter, 6.03 ERA as a starter in the postseason.
I mean, that's all you need to look at.
And I understand.
Okay.
Is it possible that in Alex Cora's mind, he's saying, well, we're not playing the Yankees, he'll be fine?
I hope not, because those 10 starts weren't all against the Yankees, right? Was one of them against the Yankees?
Just one.
Right, I think, right? Everybody else, it doesn't matter. Like I know he was really bad against the Yankees, even in the regular season this year, and just in a Red Sox uniform, he's been bad. But no, I mean, the playoffs, it hasn't been one team, and even for him, he's been on different teams and he has struggled. He's gone against different teams. He's been in different stadiums. It hasn't mattered. There's no time where I feel confident in David Price in the playoffs.
Let's get to the calls with you guys. Ryan is in New Jersey. Hey, Ryan.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So the best day of the year down here is Mike Francesa the day after the Yankees are eliminated, and somehow Cora managed to ruin it for me yesterday, so I'm pretty upset about that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Anyway, even Cora's explanation doesn't make any sense. So you tell me what's better, to give up three homers and three flyouts in Houston, or to give up two homers and four doubles off the wall in Boston? Which one does more damage? I'm just curious.
Yeah,
and I'll take your point one step further. I'd rather have lefties hitting at Fenway Park than righties. It's a lot longer drive out of the ballpark to right field.
Yeah, I don't get it.
This has got to be Dombrowski. I'm sorry. He traded assets for him in Detroit, watched him puke on himself in the playoffs. Then he saw him get traded to Toronto. The same thing happened. And then because they did that let's go cheap 2013-14 move, they signed him. They had to get somebody. They did that three times, and all three are disasters.
But don't you think Dombrowski wants David Price to opt out?
I think he does, but I don't even know. I don't think they know how that happens at this point.
No, I know. It probably doesn't happen. But I wonder if you kind of embarrass him a little bit and you say, all right, now you're our game four starter. You know, Nathan Eovaldi, we picked up midway through the year. He's starting ahead of you. Rick Porcello, you really can't trust either. You were putting him ahead of you. You put him at game four. Does he feel disrespected enough to want to opt out? I don't know. I would throw that out there. I don't think Dombrowski would say, hey, you know, we invested a lot in this guy. He has to start game two. I don't see it that way because he's just trying to win. At this point, the roster is the roster. You're just trying to win the whole thing.
If I believe that Dave Dombrowski says before a series to Alex Cora, look, you got to start David Price in one of these games. And I'm not even saying that's true, but if I believe that, I don't believe he says you got to start him in game two at home.
It has to be game two.
No, that is all Alex Cora.
No, I think it might not even be that. I think it would be a playoff roster stuff. Now, maybe if Cora said, hey, we really want to use him out of the bullpen, maybe Dombrowski kind of fights back on that a little bit. But even still, let your manager manage, especially the guy that you hired. Like, that's why this offseason you went through, you interviewed guys, and you chose Alex Cora for a reason. So let him do his job.
617-779-7937. David's in Connecticut. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
What's going on?
So let me start by saying I can't stand David Price, and I wish he wasn't even on the roster. But being as it is, he's there. The number two spot is really the only place you can start. I would rather flip a coin with someone like Vasquez or Johnson and see if maybe they get you four innings, but we don't have that option. So if you got to start Price,
Hector Velasquez than David Price?
Wait a minute.
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, come on.
Because at least it's a coin flip. You don't know if he can get you three innings, he already did better than Price did last time.
That's definitely true.
Right? So I'd rather flip a coin with one of those guys if we had that option. But anyway, if you got to start Price, it has to be number two.
Wait, why? Why two?
Well, because if very possibly we could be down two games to one going into game four. and you want him to prevent you from going down 3-1?
Yeah, but the reason why he will be down 2-1 is because he started one of the games before that. No, there's no great time to start him, but game two is the worst because then he comes back in game six.
Well, no, because then you can, start, so you can move somebody up.
What?
Maybe Purcell or Evaldi has to move up a day. Chrysal, everybody moves up.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
The schedule doesn't work for you.
How is Evaldi and Purcell going to pitch game four and six? That's not happening.
No. You move Sale up so he comes in for game five, and then Evaldi or whoever started game three pitches six.
No.
I mean, I got to tell you, a lot of people are talking about, can't Chrysal pitch 1-4, 1-5, and 7? I mean, there are limits, as great as I think Chrysal is.
I think especially now, if Chrysal had never been on the DL this year, had no limitations, I would say, sure, why can't he be Madison Bumgarner?
Now, he can do what you saw in the Yankee series.
Yeah.
He can come give you an eighth inning.
So my guess is, if it's a 7-game series, my guess would be he starts game one, he starts game five, and he pitches in relief in game seven.
That would be the most I could see.
That's what I believe would happen.
They're not going to start Chrysal on short rest.
No, I don't think so either. But maybe depending on the game too. Maybe it even at this point do or die. Maybe it becomes two innings instead of one. But it's certainly not going to be another start.
Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Keith. I thought of you yesterday as soon as I heard Cora announced.
Oh my God!
They were going with Price because I knew you must have been.
I was sick. I was sick to my stomach.
I want to tell you why I think he's going with it, and I don't know if I'm right, but this is what I think.
Okay.
I think there's two reasons. I think one is because he's got great numbers against Houston, and he's had great numbers. The other thing is at this point, you've got to believe that if he's going with Price in game two, he still believes Price is the second best starter on this team.
That's true. I mean, has to be what Alex Cora is saying.
No, and you're
saying.
Right. I mean, Eddie, you're probably right, and I think – again, in a vacuum, he is the second best starter on the team. But in the playoffs, he's the worst starter on the team. He's one of the worst starters of all time. With enough of a sample size, worst playoff starter ever.
In the last series, in the ALDS, when Alex Cora started David Price in game two, there was not this explosion. Oh, my God, what are you doing? Why are you pitching him there? Because you thought he was only going to pitch one game anyway. In the rotation I put forth yesterday, he was just going to pitch one game, start one game. He might pitch in others, but...
Yeah.
Now, assuming that this series doesn't end early, you've assured that he's going to start two games for you.
Yeah, I hate that.
I know.
I hate that. And I feel like the series is probably going to go six.
I don't think it's going to end in four or five either way.
Exactly. So it's lined up. I mean, maybe it doesn't go seven, but I think the chances of you having to see David Price twice in the series are pretty high. And you could avoid that. Like, going in, again, everybody's rested. This isn't a situation where they're playing game five tonight and they got to burn through a whole bunch of guys and they can't line things up. They took care of business early enough. Doesn't start till Saturday. Everybody's going to have extra rest, all this other stuff. So you could do whatever you want, and yet they still land on David Price after what we saw. So, I mean, he couldn't have been worse in game two against the Yankees, but apparently that didn't matter at all. You're just going to trot him right back out there.
Well, you were going to start him. You acknowledge he's going to start.
You're going to start in game four.
So, well, and maybe what he's saying is he's my second best pitcher.
Yeah.
He's had great numbers against Houston, not only this year, but in his career. I figured out something. I found something, and maybe he did, by the way.
Maybe he did. Yeah, he had two starts this year against Houston. The one at Houston, slightly worse than the one at Fenway. At Houston, it was six innings, three earned runs, seven strikeouts. He gave up one home run, and the team won. And then the game in September, it was home against Houston. He went 6 1/3, gave up two runs, had 10 strikeouts in that one. So both pretty good. I mean, you'd take six innings. Oh, my God. You would
17
go nuts
strikeouts
for six
in two games against that lineup.
Pretty good.
Impressive. That's really good, and I don't know what other advanced analytics they're dealing with.
Well,
I mean, I know there's a lot.
Monster,
yeah, no, but I know that. I mean, I don't know what other things they're looking at. Individual matchups, Price against this guy, Price against that guy.
Don't say individual matchups to Keith Law.
Yeah, I know.
Do not go
there. He's not sitting here right now, so I can use that with you, I guess. Arthur's in New Hampshire. Hey, Arthur.
Hey, guys. So wouldn't it have made more sense to bring Rodriguez back into the rotation and take Price out of the bullpen? Like you've been saying, keep the sample size he's given us in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have it. But then the underlying thing to that, too, to to take your point further of the James Harden, the opt-out, maybe it bruises ego just enough to say, hey, your starting days in Boston are over. You're coming out of the bullpen. And he does opt out. Make him call that bluff. But his ego is so big, I'm not sure that he could.
I know. It's interesting. And I just think the $127 million, it's going to be really hard no matter what you do to him to get him to opt out. I think if anything, if he and his agent, he should opt in and then demand a trade. That's what you do if you really want out. And then you guarantee every penny of that contract.
Well, I'll also say this. If I'm Alex Cora, the last thing I'm thinking about is trying to make David Price opt out. I want to win a World Series.
No, he's trying to win a World Series.
I want to win an ALDS against Houston. I want to win a World Series.
Yeah, no, the only reason I even brought that up was if you think it's a Dombrowski decision,
right.
I would say of all people, he wants him to opt out. He has more money to spend on bets or more money to spend on whoever or another guy, a younger guy or somebody that might work in Boston. You don't want to spend the next 4 years on David Price.
And I would think Dombrowski would be in the same boat as Cora. Just win. We'll worry about next season, in November. Just win the damn thing.
Oh, yeah. Next season doesn't matter at all right now.
Chris on the cell phone. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
All right. So the only possible thing I can come up with is that if you wait for him to start game four, everyone wants him coming out of the bullpen. You wait till game four, you don't get to use him in the bullpen at all.
Well, I don't really want him out of the bullpen.
You throw him in game two, he sucks.
Right.
An early hook on him, then you have him for the rest of the series coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, I don't really want him out of the bullpen.
Well, I mean, you don't want him starting either, do you?
No.
I don't know what to do. You've got to deal with the fact that he's going
to
pitch.
I don't know what to do with the guy. Yeah, I know. I guess you have to do it, but I'm not like clamoring them to have him come out of the bullpen.
No, me either. But okay. I mean, but if that's where his best playoff record is.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we're trying hard to get use out of this guy. Well, and that's the problem.
And we're also trying to figure out what went into Alex Cora's decision besides the fact that the wall is taller at Fenway.
You know, like the stadium dimensions theory?
Because frankly, I'd rather have lefties hitting at Fenway than those power righties.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good series though for the power righties no matter what. I mean, I think
oh, they're great.
Right? I mean, they're going to be just fine in either series. Those guys are going to be I mean, it's good for the Red Sox. They got a couple of guys, too. I mean, it's going to work out for them down in Houston. Martinez, Betts, they're going to be launching balls into that left field bleachers, too. But I don't know. That's a strange argument. First time we've heard that one, I think.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Peter King joins us at 11:30. Brock Holt joins us in the noon hour, right at 12 o'clock. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
How do you explain what happens to him recently in the postseason as a starter?
Nah, I think in the spot I am, I talk to them on a daily basis, and there's a few messages that I want to get them to understand, a few things, and we talk about it in the off day in New York, actually. I call him. There were a few things that I noticed that he's gotten away from. His last few starts, to be honest with you, against Baltimore, the last one against the Yankees, and hopefully he can make that adjustment. If he does, I'll tell you later what it is. We talk about it early in the season. I think you know the game, and you guys study the game, and you guys can look for it. I do feel that with that adjustment, he'll be back to be the guy that pitched in the middle of, in the summer, and he's going to dominate again, and he's going to be a huge part of what we're going to do.
Alex, don't be afraid to drop that knowledge on him before game two of the ALDS.
Please tell him. Yeah, you can tell him. I mean, they didn't need it. Maybe they didn't want, scouts out there to see.
Saving it for the next round.
Yeah, they knew they were going to follow it up with a couple of wins. They didn't need it. Now I think they're going to need it. Game two against the Astros, whatever you got, let them know.
To the previous caller, by the way, who wanted to put Eduardo Rodriguez in the rotation instead of David Price.
Yes.
Against the Astros, Eduardo Rodriguez's OPS is 1.193. Mm-hmm. Against the Astros, David Price's is .684. Yeah, I think I'd rather have Price start than Eduardo Rodriguez.
Eduardo, he's not very good. Rodriguez, no thanks on that one.
You know what it is? It's like anybody but Price. For some folks out there, just give me anybody
but
him.
And I understand that. But then you got to really look at Rodriguez and go, I don't know. Like, as bad as Price is, again, if Steven Wright was available, I think I might say go with Wright. Give him a shot. But Rodriguez, I've never been a big fan of.
Paul's in New Hampshire. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I got a couple of questions for you. Well, actually, just one.
Okay.
In baseball, the strike zone, they show the little box on TV, right?
Yes.
Is that a defined parameter? And if not, isn't that the only thing in all sports that doesn't have a defined definition of where a strike is? Or is it player to player to player? It changes.
No, it changes. In other words, if you've got, you know, Aaron Judge, his strike zone is going to be different than, you know, Brett Gardner's.
Right. Yeah, that just seems strange to me. And the other thing about Price is he's one of these guys. I work with a guy like him. If he has to work one day longer than the regular season, he thinks he's losing money. That's why he sucks. Because he's got no, you know, that's what it is. He gets paid $32 million a year to play baseball.
Yeah, he's going to get it whether he's in the playoffs or not. Yeah, good point, Paul. Hadn't thought of that.
Money.
Yeah, maybe he is.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, Paul. As good a line as it is.
That's strong.
I think he'd kind of like to win a World Series and get that monkey off his back.
Yeah, you would hope. And there's playoff bonuses, right? These guys get a little extra money for playing.
A little bit, yeah. Now, by the way, just a quick interjection here. The umpiring crew is out for the ALCS.
Oh, who do we got?
Brian Gorman is the crew chief.
Brian Gorman.
His crew will include Laz Diaz, Mike Everett, Jeff Nelson, Jim Reynolds, and Jim Wolf.
You hear that? No Angel Hernandez.
Did you hear that?
No Angel Hernandez.
And he's going, I got a lawsuit here, baby.
Like, oh, how could you guys not use me? Yeah, so that's good news. No Angel Hernandez.
And we didn't think you were going to see Angel Hernandez again anyway.
No.
I mean, if this thing goes to the World Series, I can't imagine they're going to bring Angel back for that thing. But
now, his point on the strike zone, like, it's supposed to be knees to, like, mid-chest or whatever it is, I think. But it's really...
It's not.
Some guys are all over the place.
It's a lot smaller
like
than that. Yeah.
It's like belt to like above the knee. And then it's supposed to be the plate. But you see some guys, you know, go way outside the plate.
And I should point out, and I know you understand this anyway, the box that you see on TV is subjective. I mean, it's not necessarily, oh, look, he caught the edge of that box. Well, the box isn't, you know, a defined positive thing.
Yeah, and you have to adjust it. For example, you're going to see the two extremes. Last series, Aaron Judge. This series, Jose Altuve. Like Jose Altuve,
box will be different. Yeah,
his strike zone is like the size of a baseball.
He's absolutely terrible.
Yep,
he's terrible behind the plate today. He's terrible at first base.
Terrible.
Mike's on the cell phone. Hey, Mike.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great, hey, Mike.
Hey, it's pretty simple to me why David Price is starting game two. Rich, I know you don't want him in the rotation at all, but it really comes down to a couple factors. So, number one, we all know he's going to be here for the next 4 years, right? He's not opting out. If they're going to trade him, they're going to have to eat like $47 million of that contract.
But they could do that. They could do that.
They're going to eat $47 million, though?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yeah. To get rid of them?
Really?
Yeah. I think so.
Wow. Well, I don't think they're going to.
Okay.
I think they've come to that conclusion. This is, I think, what Dombrowski and Coors' rationale here is starting in game two. Simply is the fact that who's pitching game one?
Chris Sale.
Right. So, Chris Sale gives you the best opportunity to go deep into a game from any of your starters, right? So, you hope you get 6 or 7 from Chris Sale and you actually win on Saturday night. And that's the case, it saves the bullpen, and it takes the pressure out of David Price in game two. You're going into that game two up 1-0, and you have a complete bullpen to use, and you can back up Price with whatever, E-Rod and everybody else, and make it a bullpen game like in game two. He gives up 3 runs, he's out of there, who cares? But if they demote him to the bullpen, they're basically saying, hey, we give up on you, and they're going to have him for the next 4 years, and that's going to be so damaging to his psyche, they can't afford to do that.
Yeah, but he sucks in the playoffs no matter what. So even if he ends up being good in the regular season
next year,
we're going to deal with this
next
year.
You just give it up? Do you just say, you know what, he just sucks. So who cares?
Yes.
No, you're trying to save him, fix him.
No, you're not.
Get something out of him.
I thought you just said you're worried about this season. You're not worried about the next four seasons. That's what he's talking about, the next 4 years.
But if I'm Alex Cora, I never get into a position where I say, you know what, he's a lost cause.
So if he goes out there and pitches poorly in game two, you're going to trot him back out there again?
They will say, you know what, we got to fix him again.
Why? You're going to fix him again?
They've got $150 million still
involved.
Well,
then that's not what you were talking about before, about playing for now. Does he give you the best chance to win the series in game two? Hell no.
But if you're Alex Cora, you never say he's lost cause. There's nothing we can do to fix him.
You don't say lost cause.
You don't even say it in your head.
But put him in game four.
You say, you know what? Dana, we got to figure out a way to fix this guy.
I don't know what this guy has to do for people to just give up on him. I don't know what he has to do after that game. Are we already forgetting about game two? Just because they beat the Yankees, everybody's like, all right, start over. Like, you can't start over. The guy's horrible. He has an ERA over 6 in the playoffs. It's twice as bad as his regular season. It's not a mechanics thing. It's happened every year since he's been in the league in the playoffs. So it's not, he was releasing the ball a little early. No, it's not that. Like, I don't know why. And then to the caller's point, You want to follow Chris Sale. Yeah, I guess, but you're doing it twice in a series? You lose 4 times and you're done, and now you're setting it up where he's going to start twice in 6 games.
Zach's in Tiverton, Rhode Island. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Zach?
Doing
great.
So I wanted to say, first of all, I love Cora. I think Cora is doing a great job, obviously, with the 108 wins. I think he did a great job in the first series. But I think that it is almost pathetic that Cora has to put Price out there game two so that he won't become so distraught that he'll go out and lay an egg in game four, because that's why I think he's doing it.
No, why? Why is he doing it?
Because he thinks it'll affect him mentally.
Yeah. If Price goes out game four and he's not the second guy, I think he has to have accepted the fact that he's not Chris Sale, so he's not going to be game one.
Right.
But he expects to be game two because you have Eovaldi and Porcello. And while they're doing well so far in the playoffs, they don't have the name factor of David Price, I guess I want to say. So I think it's crazy that Cora's putting him game two so that he doesn't lose, so that he doesn't lose any confidence, which I think is ridiculous for a, 10-year vet by now?
Yeah, and a guy who doesn't have the confidence anyway. Like, I don't think he's all of a sudden going to have it now for game two. There's really no indication of that.
Alex didn't address Price in particular, but he talked about, you know, this team being all in. He said he called Rick Porcello the night before his start, and he told Rick Porcello, we're going to start Christian Vasquez behind the plate for your start tomorrow. And Porcello said, fine, whatever you want.
Yeah.
He said he called Brock Holt and explained to him, look, I know you had the cycle,
but
this
is,
and he said, and Brock Holt said, look, I understand. And you'd like to think that everybody on that roster has the similar sort of all-in attitude. Whatever is best for us to win this series and ultimately a world championship, I'm all for.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Price is like that, but you'd like to think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a little bit easier for those guys that are used to having to sort of, they're in the lineup, out of the lineup. You know, Brock Holt, I'm sure, was disappointed, but kind of got it. Like, he's not an everyday starter. And same with Vasquez, and same with Sandy Leon. They're like, okay, this is what we're doing. Kinsler.
But you could see where Porcello would be saying, whoa, wait a minute.
What about this guy?
I had Sandy Leon.
Like, that's what we think. We're stacking the lineup with righties. We're going to try to score as many runs as possible.
I do think because we don't, I'm saying we, meaning the community, because we don't like David Price, we stick other things on him that may or may not be true. I don't have any indication that he's not a team guy, that he doesn't care about winning. And we've stuck that on him in the course of calls in the last hour.
All right, but so forget all that.
Oh, he's losing money in the playoffs. Yeah, he makes $30 million.
That
he doesn't care.
That was funny, but that's not the reason. I just look at his playoff record. That's it. That's all you have to do. I don't care if he's the best guy, the worst guy, somewhere in between. None of that matters. What he does in the playoffs and what he's done in the playoffs for the Red Sox, like how can you possibly ignore that and think, oh, he'll be fine. He should be the game two starter. No way.
Jim's in Rhode Island. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I heard a couple people. They mentioned Hector Velasquez, Eduardo Rodriguez, you know, over and above maybe Price starting game two. I mean, I think that's totally ridiculous. Perhaps you take Rodriguez, who's got a live arm, and he can't even figure out how to cover first base. That kid's head is...
That was pretty lazy, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. Get over there.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, but Jim, what about Eovaldi and Porcello, who both pitched well last series? Why aren't they ahead of Price?
I think that is the point of contention. I really do. I'm thinking maybe Cora's putting him number two, Price number two, for a chance to pitch out of the bullpen later on. But I do agree, I would have liked to see Porcello or Eovaldi pitch game two, most definitely. Thank you.
All right,
thanks.
There you go.
I mean,
the difference. That's where we came down too.
Alex Cora made it pretty clear in the amount of explanation he was willing to give up yesterday that he wants Price pitching against this lineup here instead of Houston. Even if I disagree with him, he's probably got more knowledge under his hat than I do about this.
Well, he's got plenty of knowledge, and he's on a hot streak as far as, you know, predictions are concerned. But I wonder if this would be the one that ends that, just because there's also been a long history of David Price being terrible in the postseason as a starter. The other thing that we haven't mentioned at all yet, you remember when Nathan Eovaldi got the start in game three, one of the things they talked about was how good he was with like a week of rest, rest. So you set that up, right? I mean, I guess
maybe that's the other thing they're thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for some sort of silver lining here, he pitched on Monday, that was the 8th, and if he pitches in game three, it'd be the 16th. And if he pitches game four, it'd be the 17th. So it'd be, you know, 8-9 days off. So I don't know. Maybe they're hoping they get more out of Eovaldi.
Well, we mentioned earlier, the one thing Alex shared with was, you know, about the right field or the left field wall and all that. he's got a bunch of other things. It was the only thing on his checklist was, oh, I'd rather he pitch at Fenway. Well, here we go.
It better not be just the ballpark thing. Because I think George Springer and Jose Altuve and Bregman can hit it out of any ballpark.
Pretty much. Jim's in Lowell. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, boys.
Morning.
Where in this David Price thing? Well, first of all, you have to remember, Price's pick all year has been against Houston, and including one in Houston where they lost the first two games of the series, and they were on the verge of having their worst winning losing streak of the season, and he pitched a monster game in Houston to win game three of a four-game series.
You're going in and out
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
you're going in and out.
Not your fault. But
so what is he? He's pro-Price?
Well, he's pro-Price against Houston because his career numbers and his numbers this year against Houston are really good. We talked about his career numbers yesterday. We've talked about how he did in two starts against them this year. He's pitched really well against this team. He struck out 17 guys in two games.
No, he struck out a bunch of guys. Yeah, but the ERA is like 3.8 or whatever it is. So it's not like he's unbelievable. Like he just completely mowed him down. It's not like Eovaldi versus the Yankees. Give me Eovaldi versus the Yankees over Price versus the Houston Astros. I do think as bad as he is, probably does give you a better shot than Eduardo Rodriguez. Like I
agree.
I think you go there.
Or Hector Velasquez. Or
yeah, but, oh yeah, certainly. But you have to go pretty, you have to have a quick hook ready to go just because how many times can you see it? And I thought well, he did a great job.
He's had a quick hook. You know,
very
quick. He hasn't
hook.
Hesitated.
No.
He didn't hesitate in Price's start in game two. He wouldn't hesitate in this game.
No, and that's what he would have to do again. And Joe Kelly kind of bailed him out, and you know, you had a game there for a little while, and then you know the wheels kind of fell off. But it was good for a moment. You know, he was terrible in the game, but they were in it. You know, it was 3-1 for a while. And even though, you know, he gave up a couple of dingers, and it could have been even worse.
Nick's in Rhode Island. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Good.
So my thing is everyone keeps on talking about the pressure that Price gets. And from what you guys are saying, it's like start him four. But God forbid if it actually goes to like a couple more games and we don't win 1 and 2 right away, isn't that going to put more pressure on him on four?
Yes.
Besides like Sale actually winning.
No, I don't. Honestly, I think any playoff start is pressure for Price. It doesn't matter. Game two against the Yankees, they were up 1-0.
No, but there would be more pressure if they're down 2-1 or God forbid, 3-0.
But I think you hit sort of a level where that's just it. It's like the most pressure you can take on. Like if it's a scale of 1 to 10, like he's always at a 10 no matter what. They had a 1-0 lead. He was at home against the Yankees, and he fell apart. It doesn't matter if he's game one, game four, elimination, not elimination. I think he's going to be freaking.
Sure.
As long as he's the starter, I think it's going to be in his head no matter what.
All I'm saying is that I'd rather have him on two with us up 1-0 instead of him and three and we're like 2-0 or, you know, actually winning one and it comes like down on the line like in game four. That's just what I'm saying from it. So
And look, it is valid to say that, you know, that there would be more pressure certainly if they're trailing 2-1 or 3-0 and he's pitching in game four, especially if it's do or die. I mean, part of me is almost willing to say, you know what? If Alex says he should go in game two, I'm going to buy it.
Well, of course. I mean, again, he has gotten just about everything right, but this one is the most strange. There are other ones, like you said, you sort of question, but at least when he gave you the reason, you're like, oh, okay, not this one.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk to Peter King, some NFL football at the bottom of the hour. Brock Holt will join us an hour from now, just after 12 o'clock. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.